Payne's new manager gets positive reviews during her first evaluation, and the new Klahini River Bridge is open to traffic. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. Payne's new borough manager had her first evaluation Tuesday. The positive review turned into a discussion about how the assembly could become more efficient. Haynes has seen a revolving door of borough managers over the past several years. The most recent manager hire roiled the community. The assembly chose former Chamber of Commerce Director Deborah Schnabel over the interim manager at the time, Brad Ryan. Ryan had many residents and borough staff members' vocal support. Because of the controversy surrounding the decision, Schnabel asked for a three-month evaluation.
My hire was under some very stressful circumstances. I think we all know that it was not only controversial, but difficult for everyone. And so it was important to me in making a contract with the borough at the time that we keep on track to ensure that my performance was meeting the expectations of the assembly.
Schnabel requested the informal evaluation take place in public. Assemblymember Ron Jackson has been in his seat the longest. His term is ending soon. In 3 years, he said he's worked with four different managers.
A lot of different styles I've seen, and I like what you're doing with the manager's report in that you sometimes will outline a problem and you'll work with staff on it, and you'll come up with a recommendation that is yours and staff's about where we go, rather than come to us and say, so what do you want me to do?
Multiple assembly members complimented the format Schnabel uses in the manager's report. The report is part of every assembly meeting. They said it makes the meetings more efficient and effective. Then the conversation turned to that issue, efficiency. Schnabel urged the assembly members to talk to her before meetings if they have questions, and she encouraged them to thoroughly read the agenda information before the meeting actually starts.
You know, some of this, quite honestly, gets to be painful for me. You know, when we talk about, we put together an ordinance or a proposal, and then, you know, you take it apart. And I think, wow, you know, if I had realized that, you know, this question was going to come up, I could have proposed different language or something. So it's important, I think, for us to have something happen, you know, prior to a business meeting.
The assembly bounced around some ideas, like having an open forum before meetings where the assembly or members of the public can ask the manager questions about topics they're not clear on. The group didn't come to any consensus on how to make meetings that sometimes extend over 4 hours more efficient, but they said Schnabel has moved them closer to that goal. A new bridge connecting the Haynes Highway to Chilcat Lake Road and Porcupine Road is now open for traffic. The structure replaces an old bridge with a long history in Southeast. KHNS's Abby Collins reports.
The Klahini River Bridge opened to traffic on Wednesday. Construction on the Department of Transportation project took about a year. Ora Landau is a spokesperson for DOT.
Construction on the project started last summer, and bridge pilings and foundations were put in by last fall. And this summer, the girders and the decking were installed, and the earthworks were done. There's also part of the road realigned in order to line up the road approaches to the bridge this summer.
Landau says there were minimal disruptions to traffic during construction. The old bridge remained open most of the time. And that old structure, well, it's still there for now.
The old bridge is staying in place because it'll be easier to get it out during periods of low water flow. That'll happen later on this winter.
The old Klahini River Bridge has a history in Southeast, but its future is unclear.
It's an old bridge from Juneau. It was part of the original 1931 Brotherhood Bridge in Juneau and was barged to Haines before 1969. That's one section of it. And the second section came also from the Brotherhood Bridge and was added a few years later. So it's got a long history. It would be interesting to see what happens to it after this.
During routine inspections, DOT decided the bridge needed to be replaced. The project has been in the works since 2011.
The DOT has a bridge inspection program, part of a national program. We inspect every single one of the state's bridges every 2 years. And when a bridge starts to get to a point where it's deteriorating, we inspect it more regularly. So the old bridge was safe, but it was found to be structurally deficient and so was slated for removal.
The total cost of replacing the structure was about $9.7 million. Landau says about 90% of that was paid for with federal funding. The state paid about 9%. Two Haines companies worked on the project. Southeast Road Builders contracted with DOT, and ProHNS worked as a subcontractor. Landau says it's important to preserve access across the river.
It offers access to residential areas and recreation and to development up in the Porcupine area. So having the access open adds value.
Traffic will now be rerouted away from the old bridge and onto the new structure. Reporting in Haines, I'm Abby Collins.
The overall commercial catch of pink salmon in southeast Alaska is falling short of the pre-season forecast, but it's not as low as last year's run. In fact, some parts of the panhandle have seen strong, humpy catches. KFSK's Joe Vicknicki reports.
The steam whistle blew August 11th at Icicle Seafood's Petersburg Fisheries Plant, marking 100,000 cases of canned pink salmon. It's not something that happens every year and didn't last year, according to PFI plant manager Patrick Wilson. He calls this season nothing to write home about, but says the plant has been keeping busy canning pinks. Pinks are caught mainly by the region's purse seine fleet, and many are canned or frozen. PFI was the only cannery operating in Petersburg this year, with Ocean Beauty opting to process frozen pinks at its plant in Excursion Inlet. Region-wide, by the fourth week in August, the commercial catch was nearing 24 million pinks, well below the Alaska Department of Fish and Game's forecast going into the season. Dan Gray is the department's regional salmon management coordinator.
We did revise that forecast based on in-season information. And right now, I think we're hoping to zero in on about 32 million. The preseason forecast was somewhere between 27 and 55 million, with a point estimate for the forecast at 43. That was preseason. And it doesn't look like we're going to get there.
While it's not living up to expectations, 2017's harvest has already topped last year's poor total of just over 18 million. And if the season total hits 32 million, it would be close to the harvest from 2 years ago, the parents of this year's pinks, and not far off long-term averages. Gray says the season's going well in some parts of the region and not so well in others.
In the Ketchikan area, not so well. We're definitely in one of the probably lowest four or five harvests we've had. And as you move northward, it improves. You get into the Sitka area, and we're probably in one of the top two or three. And Juneau's been quite strong for harvest as well, and escapement seems to be filling in. Although there are still a few holes.
Last year's catch was mainly from the southern panhandle. That's flipped this year with the bulk of pinks caught in northern southeast. And opening the third week of August saw a region-wide haul of 3.2 million pinks by nearly 260 purse seiners. The season peaks typically in early to mid-August, and catches are expected to start declining toward the end of the month. Processors are already starting to send cannery workers home as the season winds down. Gray says average size for pinks is a little higher this season, probably over 4 pounds, and the price has been up this year, with companies paying a starting price of 30 cents a pound. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicknicki.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org. We also post news and announcements on our KHNS Facebook page, so make sure you follow us there. We're always open to your comments and story ideas. You can reach us at news@khns.org or reporter@khns.org.